Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It is hot, 90 degrees hot, and I do hope you're staying well hydrated. But if you're drinking bottle after bottle of water today, what are you going to do with all that empty plastic when you're done? I can tell you one thing you can't do. You can't return it to your local grocery store and get a nickel back on the deposit. That's because water bottles and other non-carbonated beverages are not covered by the Massachusetts Bottle Bill, even though they account for almost a third of all bottled products consumed in the Commonwealth. The bottle bill hasn't been significantly changed since it first went into effect in 1983. So now there's a new push on Beacon Hill to expand the bill. At a State House press conference just this afternoon, James McCaffrey, director of the Massachusetts Sierra Club, said he can think of a billion reasons the bottle bill should include all those empty water and sports drinks bottles that we are tossing into the trash right now.
Those are the billions of bottles that end up in the landfills and could fill Fenway Park to overflowing each year in the Commonwealth. It's outrageous.
So there's a green argument for expanding the bill, but there's also a green argument against it. Bottle bill opponents say the state's hunger for that other kind of green, as in up to $20 million in new revenue, is the real motivation here, and that expanding the bottle bill amounts to nothing more than a tax on consumers and added costs for retailers. So, listeners, there's no question that we're drinking more bottled products than ever. So what should we do with them? Do you think water bottles and sports drinks should get the nickel deposit treatment? Or with the ubiquity of curbside recycling programs, do you think a deposit system is outmoded? Will an expanded bottle bill save the environment or just cost everyone more? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK or comment online at wbur.org/Boston. Well, joining us now is State Representative Alice Wolf, the legislative sponsor of the expanded bottle bill. Representative Wolf, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meghna. I'm glad to be here with you.
It's great to have you. Also joining us is Brian Houghton. He is vice president of the Massachusetts Food Association and an opponent of the expansion of the bill. Mr. Houghton, welcome to you to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meghna. It's my pleasure.
So, Representative Wolf, if I can just start with you, can you just briefly outline to us exactly what the expanded bottle bill would do?
Yes, what the expanded bottle bill would do would add to those bottles that we already have deposits on, would add water, sports drinks, and other drinks of that sort. And as you have mentioned, it was 1982-83 that the bottle bill was passed. And at that time, there were not all these water bottles walking around the city and around the towns of the Commonwealth. And now there are an estimated 1.3 billion water and other kinds of drinks bottles going into our landfills, but via the streets, the parks, the trash barrels, and we want to see that change.
Okay. And so overall, in terms of what's already covered by the bottle bill, I read that the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection says redemption rates for those bottles, soft drink bottles, et cetera, is about 68%, whereas a similar percentage of containers that do not have a deposit on them are the ones that end up in landfills. So from statistics like that, you seem to think that there's a lot of room to increase recycling rates amongst things like water bottles and sports drinks.
Absolutely. It's about, the estimates vary from 70 to 80% are returned, and 70 to 80% of bottles that are not that do not have a deposit on them end up somewhere in our landfills.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about this revenue question, because obviously the unredeemed money from those deposits goes somewhere. Currently, the state raises about $38 million in revenue. How do you estimate the additional $20 million that the state would receive if the bottle bill were to be expanded?
Well, this all relates to those bottles that are not returned, and that's how the so-called escheated funds increase. But let me put this whole issue about the money into context, because I see this bill really as a win-win-win-win bill. And the first piece of the win is for the environment, both in the environment by of the roadsides and the soccer fields and Red Sox Nation and everywhere else, and the environmental, that these bottles will be recycled and rather than go into landfills for 100 years. And of course, there's the other piece of it, which is these are oil products, and that's a whole other piece of this that we can talk about. The second win, so that's one win, environment. The second win is for the communities, the cities and towns, of which about 150 have adopted resolutions that support this bill. And in that case, again, we are dealing with overloaded trash barrels and water bottles all over the streets. That costs our community somewhere in the order of $4 to $6 million dollars a year to clean up that they would not have to have. And as you know, municipalities are under huge pressure. So approximately a dollar a person in each community is what it's costing. So think of it. Someone said today Lowell has 120,000 people. So $120,000 might go to a teacher or to a firefighter.
So potential savings to be captured there in reduced disposal costs.
Recaptured.
And your final one?
And then the third group are small store owners. Those store owners with 10 employees or less will be eligible to ask for an exemption so that they don't have to collect these bottles now, which will be a help to some of these small mom-and-pop stores and, mm-hmm. gas stations and so forth. And then the last piece that I consider a win is that there will be additional funding for the state. And you've said $18 to $20 mm-hmm. million. Dollars.
So you've snuck in four wins there. Let me actually turn that question to Brian Houghton of the Massachusetts Food Association. You don't see this as a win across the board at all, Mr. Houghton, do you?
Well, it's in principle, it sounds like a great and wonderful thing, but in reality, in this day and time, we don't believe it is. First of all, our members, the supermarkets and the grocery stores, don't feel that it's appropriate to have trash being brought into the store where you're buying your food to be eaten.
Well, I suppose the redemption centers would be separate from where the middle of the produce aisle would be. But I understand that your chief concern is the cost that and the burden that this puts on retailers, mom-and-pop stores, and as well larger food retailers around the state.
It's true, and I know there is an exemption in the bill for a store with 10 or fewer employees. That equivalents to about a convenience store, really, which has usually 7 or fewer employees. So you're talking about, the smaller supermarkets, the inner city stores, and the big, all the way up to the big chains. But the expansion that's called for in the bill would have to have these stores retrofitted to be able to take all the product back in. If they were able to get the reverse vending machines for the bigger people who may be able to afford them, which are very expensive to begin with, along with the maintenance that goes along with them, they would have to be, I don't know how much the increase would have to take place for them to be able to handle the capacity of containers that would be coming back mm-hmm. into their locations. So somebody's going to pay for it either way, whether it's through the grocers, which would be carried down to the consumers. But the big problem is the amount of trash that would be brought back to the stores. And there's also the issue of fraud that could take place.
Oh, from people bringing bottles from out of the state that never a deposit was never paid on. Mr. Houghton, actually, I think it might serve all our listeners here if we could just take a step back and actually walk through the process of how these deposits are paid back, because there are some costs in here for retailers, for example. So I go to the store and I buy my Diet Coke in a plastic bottle and I pay the 5-cent deposit. But even before that, retailers have paid a deposit to the drink distributors. Is that correct?
Correct. And the distributors, I believe, are the ones that are responsible. You can correct me, Representative, but I believe the distributors are the ones responsible for picking up their containers at the locations.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I go back and – so that's where the 5 cents moves through the chain. And then when I go back and actually redeem my 5 cents back, the retailer gives it back to me. The distributor is supposed to give it back to the retailer. But inside all of that, there is apparently a fee that retailers who are collecting these bottles are allowed to charge distributors, which is roughly 2 1/4 cents.
Yes,
is that right?
2 1/4 cents, and under the bill, that would go up 1 cent. It hasn't gone up since 1983.
And I understand that that's one of the chief concerns, that it's not high enough, that it's actually costing retailers more to be the point where the collection point than the 2.5 cents covers. Mr. Houghton, is that true?
Well, that is why there's a penny being added to that, so that the redemption centers can continue to operate and create jobs and do all of the things that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Mr.
Houghton, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's called the handling fee, basically, for each of the containers that are redeemed.
And is this a cost that is if it were to be increased to that 3.5 cents, that would that cover the handling fee?
Three and a quarter cents. It would be more than 2 1/4 cents. Would it cover it all? I can't say for sure, but it would be. It basically covers the amount of inflation that has taken place since the original fee was set.
Mm-hmm. Brian Houghton of the Massachusetts Food Association. Let me ask you. I mean, I've been reading and hearing a lot from people who say that increasing or expanding the bottle bill does amount to some form of a tax on people. Do you feel that way? And if so, why?
Well, we do, and it's basically because if you aren't redeeming the containers, if you have, like I do, curbside collection, I would rather put all my containers in that one blue bin and have it picked up, have it single source separated or whatever it may be, whatever the city's town is doing, and let them reap the benefits of getting the aluminum and the recycling of that valuable commodity, too. Connecticut went through an experience where they expanded their bottle bill to include water, and they were counting on about $1 million a month in extra escheatage revenue from the unclaimed nickels. Their DEP just came out with a report the other day that for the last quarter, they've only seen $680,000 come in mm-hmm. revenue. So obviously the revenue source is not really there. People are not redeeming all those containers. They're probably doing something else with them, and whether it's curbside or bringing them to the recycling centers themselves. But going down the road of
they're going down on the streets.
If I can have both of you just stand by for a second, there's a lot more we want to get into on this. So Brian Houghton, Massachusetts Food Association Vice President, and Representative Alice Wolf, both of you stand by for just a minute. We are talking about a proposal to expand the bottle bill in Massachusetts. You can give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We will be back in 1 minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We are talking about a proposal to expand the Massachusetts bottle bill to include all those billions of water bottles, sports drink bottles, and tea bottles that we drink in the Commonwealth every day. You can give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And have your 5 cents on this matter. I'm joined by State Representative Alice Wolf. She is the legislative sponsor of the updated bottle bill. And also by Brian Houghton. He is the vice president of the Massachusetts Food Association. We've got a lot of calls and comments already coming in. Scott is commenting on our website at wbur.org/Boston. He says, an expanded bottle bill is not a tax. Taxes are not voluntary. The small deposit paid on containers can be redeemed when the containers are returned. Let's turn to the phone lines now. Roland is calling from Harwich. Welcome to Radio Boston, Roland.
Thank you, Meghna. Thank you for taking my call. I used to live in Massachusetts. I'm up here vacationing. I now live down south where there is no deposit on anything. And I've seen the bottles and cans tossed over a recycling bin into the garbage at Little League games and Boy Scout events. So I'm not sure that the Food and beverage industry always pushes curbside recycling, but and that's great. I do it myself, but it's really not the full answer. I mean, when was the last time anybody saw a recycling bin at a convenience store for you to recycle? So it, most of it ends up in the trash or on the street or along the roadside.
Good point, Roland. Let me turn that to Representative Alice Wolf.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what the – I didn't quite get the point. I was having a hard time hearing.
Okay. I think Roland was basically saying that he sees the bottle bill as an incentive to recycle rather than a disincentive, because it isn't actually that easy outside of your home to find places to drop a bottle into a recycling bin.
Well, I do think that it is an incentive to recycle. That's what we find in the data. As we know, 70 or 80% of the bottles that that have deposits on them are returned, and 70 to 80% of the bottles that do not have a deposit on them are not recycled. So it is a really good recycling mechanism as well as other environmental issues.
Mm-hmm. Rachel is commenting on our website at wbur.org/Boston. She says, I have not been able to redeem deposits on several products because stores that have redemption machines will only take products sold in that store. Adding water bottles will exacerbate the problem. I have to say, I feel Rachel's pain because I run into that all the time. I'm going to want to get Brian Houghton's take on this, but Representative Wolf, is there anything in the bill that would help maybe increase the number of redemption centers or encourage stores to take bottles that they did not sell themselves?
Well, I can tell you with regard to the redemption centers, because as we have discussed, there's the additional cent, we will continue to have redemption centers which are threatening to close, and maybe we'd even get some additional redemption centers. So I think that is I think that's a huge motivation to be able to recycle these bottles.
Mm-hmm. Brian Houghton from the Massachusetts Food Association, you said something really interesting before the break, which I want to just touch on again, because we didn't get a chance to dig into it too much, that one of your concerns is that expanding the bottle bill to include water bottles might increase fraud, and that would cost the state overall. So what do you mean by that?
Well, that's what Maine had experienced when they had expanded their deposit system. The state at one point was actually giving out more money than it was receiving because people were coming over the border to cash in on non-deposit containers in their state. So they clearly had a problem. Connecticut right now is voicing those same concerns, that there are others that are coming over to cash in on the nickel on containers that are not a deposit container that was purchased in Connecticut. Under law in Massachusetts right now, our retailers do not have to accept any containers that they do not sell. But if this bill went through and it was expanded, that would increase the areas of concern on fraud because it would increase the scope of all the containers that could be coming back into a food store, not to mention the trash issue again being expanded coming back into a food store.
Mm-hmm. Well, just one thing about that. My understanding is with regard to Maine, where there was an issue, is that they have now marked their bottles with some specific kind of marking, so they know which bottles actually come from Maine. And so I suppose that might be something under regulation that might happen here in Massachusetts. I believe one of the other states also has adopted a specific requirement such as that.
Mm-hmm. We've got another comment online. It's from Will Toronto. He's saying, here's a revolutionary thought. We refill and reuse bottles. It's better for the environment than buying a new bottle. Water doesn't have a secret recipe. There's no good reason not to refill and reuse water bottles until the container doesn't hold water anymore. Let's turn back to the phones. Deb is calling from Danvers. Welcome to Radio Boston, Deb.
Hi, Magna. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
This question might require delving into people's psyche a little bit, but I'm just wondering why the need for the bottle bill? Why do you think people aren't already just putting it in their home recycling?
That's a great question, actually. Let's turn that to Representative Wolf. I mean, you were saying earlier, Representative, that adding that 5-cent deposit to water bottles might encourage more recycling, but why aren't people
just doing it
anyway?
The data shows that it does. As I said, it's 70 to 80% either way, and that is the experience that we've already had. So I think that if in a perfect world, we might be able to do it all without deposits. But in fact, this is not a perfect world, and it may be people's psyches. But we know if I walked out of the State House right now, which is where I am, and walked down the down Park Street, I would find lots of water bottles right all along the streets and in the Boston Common, because mm-hmm. that's what people do. They dump them.
Brian,
if I could comment on that, too. I thought that was an interesting point the caller made, because if that's the incentive that we have to use to force people to recycle, then why don't we put a deposit on cigarette butts? Why don't we put a deposit on lottery tickets? Why don't we put a deposit on litter, on newspapers, on everything? Is that the way we really want to go, instead of having recycling containers where they should be in those parks where the containers are overflowing, and have it a separate place where people can put these containers to recycle?
Well, I'm all for having containers in the parks. I don't think that's an issue. But the fact is, this is the context in which we are operating right now, and we have 1.3 billion bottles going into landfills every year.
Representative Wolf and Brian Houghton, there is one major issue here which we talked about in the introduction to the show, and I don't want to end this segment without returning to it, and that is the revenue that could be generated from expanding this bill. Massachusetts is one of 11 states that has some kind of bottle bill. All the states do it differently. For example, I was looking at out in Oregon and Washington, all the unredeemed nickels, you know, the several millions or billion, not billions, but several millions of dollars worth of nickels stay at the level of the retailer there. The state doesn't take anything out. Whereas in New York, in their recently updated bottle bill, retailers get to keep 20% of the revenue and they give 80% to the state. So there is some incentive for retailers distributors to be part of this bottle reclaiming process. But here in Massachusetts, if I understand correctly, Representative Wolf, all the money goes back to the state. So why not try and incent retailers and distributors to be part of the process by giving them a cut of the unredeemed nickels?
Well, that would be something that somebody could propose. But
I suppose you could propose it, being on Beacon Hill.
The major issue really here is to be able to get the deposits and to be able to move forward with the bill. As you know, and every bill in the legislature has changes made to it, there may be some changes in the amendment process.
Mm-hmm. Brian Houghton, would that
get to the floor?
Brian Houghton, if retailers and distributors were able to take a cut of the unredeemed money, would that alleviate some of the concerns that you have about expanding the bill?
Well, one, when the bottle bill first went through, the state used to take the money and have one-third go to help Superfund cleaning, one-third would go to the Department of Environmental Protection for solid waste programs, and then one-third, I believe, went to the general fund. When budget times got tough, that was all taken away from the two other agencies and sent into the general fund. So this latest proposal that our governor even introduced counted on $20 million to go in to help the budget. Who's to say, if this legislation goes through, that once our times get tough again, that all the money is going to be grabbed by the state to help them solve their budget mm-hmm. crisis?
I want to sneak one last call in here from the people who would be participating in this program, those of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the residents themselves. Michael's calling from Somerville. Welcome to Radio Boston, Michael.
Thank you, Magna. I appreciate your taking my call. My question for Representative Wolf, and I forget the gentleman's name, I apologize.
Brian Houghton.
Mr. Houghton, thank you, is whether or not consideration was given to exempting rapidly biodegradable organic plastics from the deposit program in order to either offset a higher cost associated with that container or simply provide a cheaper alternative to the consumer, which does not have the drawback of non-organic plastics.
Michael, thanks for your call. Alice Wolf, this is the last issue we're going to be able to tackle today, so the question goes to you.
No, I don't. I don't think that has been. I haven't heard that particular thing discussed. Again, that may be something that we can look at.
And one last issue: the session comes to a close on July 31st. Do you think you're going to be able to get this bill passed by then?
I don't. I can't predict that. We're still working on it. I just want to make one last point because I didn't have a chance to talk about the tax issue.
You just got a couple seconds.
This bill, the bottle bill, has been in effect for 28 years or so. There was never considered a tax. This is This is now because taxes are really off the table. Opponents have used that as a convenient argument. It's not real.
Although for those who remember, and if I remember correctly, the fight was pretty contentious back in the 80s when this bill was first brought to light as Massachusetts' original bottle bill. So some things never really change. State Representative Alice Wolf, she is the legislative sponsor of a proposed update to the Massachusetts bottle bill. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
And also Brian Houghton, vice president of the Massachusetts Food Association. Thank you so much for joining us as well.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, hopefully you are drinking a lot of water because it is another day of intense heat with temperatures hovering in the low 90s. And while today didn't match yesterday's record-breaking highs, many of us are still trying to find some relief. Radio Boston's Talia Ralph headed to the North End to see how folks there are faring.
This is Mike Pascal from Melrose. I'm working the slush and the lemonade and cold drinks. While I'm here, just keep drinking that lemonade. It's good lemonade. You should buy some.
My name is John. I live in East Boston. I work here as a cook. And it's a very hot day, but we have to work today, so nothing else we can do, you know. Job is a job.
My name is Tony DiPrizio. I'm from Somerville, Massachusetts. I'm taking my grandkids around through Boston here, drinking a lot of water. They cost me a lot of money to stay cool. And that's what you have to do on days like today, otherwise you're in for trouble.
My name is Alex, and I'm 7, and I'm playing in the splashy stuff.
Alex, you totally have the right idea, because wouldn't we all love to be in some of that splashy stuff this afternoon?